Good morning. My name is Andy, and I consider it a great privilege to open God's Word with you today. We're going to be continuing our study on the parables, on Jesus' parables, and today we are looking at the parable of the unforgiving servant, and that story is found in Matthew chapter 18. Verse 23 to 25. While you're turning up to Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, I would like to give you three reasons why I consider it a great privilege to open God's Word and share it with you this morning. I don't know if you know this or not, but this book that I hold in my hands is the world's bestseller. I think that's incredible when you think about what society thinks about this book. It is still, by a long, long way, the world's bestseller. Number two is that, do you know that there's thousands, tens of thousands of people in this world that do not have a copy of this book? And they would absolutely love to have it. Do you know there's some people in this world that would give anything just to have a page of this Bible to read? And the third thing I want to tell you this morning is I believe that this book here is God's Word. I believe that wholeheartedly, and I believe that God has something to say to every single person here this morning. God wants to speak to you. He has something to say to each heart. So those are the reasons why, some of the reasons why I consider it a great privilege to open God's Word. So if you've found Matthew chapter 18, the parable is in verse 23 to 35. But I would like to go back a few verses, if you would, to verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to him, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And here we have our story, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have mercy with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt that you pleaded, because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you for the immense privilege that it is to have your word in our hands and to speak from it and to listen to it. And we just ask, Lord, that you would give us open hearts this morning, soft hearts. I pray, Lord, that there would be good soil in this church this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every single person here this morning. We ask for the help of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read you a quote from John MacArthur. John MacArthur says that nothing in the Christian life is more important than forgiveness. Our forgiveness of others and God's forgiveness of us. I'm not sure how you feel about that. There's a whole lot of important things in the world. But John MacArthur says he thinks that forgiveness is the most important thing in the Christian life. Hopefully, as we get into this passage, we'll understand why forgiveness is such an important thing. The title for this morning's message is this: Forgiven People, Forgive People. I would like us to just spend a few minutes in the context of the passage from verse 15 to 22, because I think there's some helpful things for us in understanding this parable a wee bit better. Five things I want you to notice with me. The first is this, verse 21 and through to verse 20. The context is community. Notice verse 15, you and him. Verse 16, one or two. Verse 19, if two of you. And verse 20, two or three. The context for this parable today is community. And that is, community is the setting that God has chosen for life. God doesn't want anyone to go through this life alone. He's chosen to put us amongst people, whether that's in your workplace or in your family or in this church here or another church. God has chosen to put us together in community. Second thing I'd like you to notice is that the context is conflict. And where there is, sadly, where there's community, there will be conflict. Now, if you're anything like me, you would probably rather that that wasn't the case, or you'd probably rather not deal with conflict. For me, I'd rather shove conflict under the rug and pretend it never existed. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus brings it to our attention, and he brings it out into the open, and he tells us how to deal with it. And I think that's very helpful as we look at the parable. Number three, verse 18. I want you to notice the two little words in verse 18, loosing and binding. Those are two words that are helpful in our understanding of forgiveness and unforgiveness. The idea of loosing is forgiveness, and the idea of binding is unforgiveness. Number four, verse 21. I want you to see Peter's question. Now, I find Peter a very helpful character. Peter is a man with questions. And people with questions are usually people who help others. You know, probably all the disciples were listening to Jesus' words, totally confused by the radical teachings that he was bringing to them. And they all had questions, but everyone was too scared to ask the questions, apart from Peter. Peter's the one who asked the questions that everyone else wants to know the answers to. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a person with questions. Maybe you're here this morning and you have doubts about God's word, questions about his character. I want to encourage you this morning to be like Peter and ask your questions. Because people who ask questions not only help themselves, but they usually help the people round about them. Sometimes in our small group, someone will ask a question and it opens up a whole conversation that usually takes us to the rest of the evening. So if you have questions, make sure and ask them. Ask someone here this morning if you have questions after the service. Or if you want to shout out just now, then I'll try my best and deal with that. That's a dangerous offer. So Peter asks a question, and he's listening to Jesus' teaching, and he's hearing things that he's never heard before. And I can almost see the cogs of Peter's mind turning as he's listening to Jesus' teaching. And he's reasoning this out in his head. How can Jesus be asking us to forgive people like this? So he's got a question for Jesus. How many times should I forgive my brother? So he's reasoning it out in his mind. He's maybe thinking back to a scripture in the Old Testament where it's mentioned that you should forgive someone three times. But Peter knows that Jesus is a very generous man. So he doubles it. He thinks six times. And then he thinks, just for good measure, he'll maybe add on one more, seven times. And I think Peter brought this question suggestion to Jesus, thinking that Jesus might commend him for his generosity. How many times, Lord? As many as seven times? And then notice in verse 22, Jesus' answer to Peter. Jesus blows Peter's generosity away. I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, some other translations actually put that at 70 times 7. I make that 490. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the whole point of this that Jesus is making is that you don't put a limit on forgiveness. God doesn't put a limit on forgiveness, and he wants us to do exactly the same thing. I imagine that Jesus' answer must have left Peter and the disciples staggering. They'd never ever heard anything like this before. To forgive someone as many times as they offend you was a radical idea. And so Jesus, in his kindness, gathers the men together, gathers his disciples together, and he says, I want to tell you a story. Who doesn't love a story? Everyone loves a story. From the youngest child going to bed at night, you read them their bedtime story, to the oldest man sitting on his armchair, reminiscing, telling you about the good old days and the stories from when he was younger. Everyone loves a story. And Jesus is the master storyteller. Nobody told stories as well as Jesus did. He knew how to get to people's hearts with a story, and that's exactly what he does just now. He brings his disciples together and anyone else who might have been listening, and he says, I want to tell you a story. It's a simple story. There's only three main characters in it. There's a king, there's a servant, and there's a fellow servant. Just three main characters. I feel like those three main characters are almost a picture of our lives, the main characters that our lives have in them. Number one, the main character is God. Number two, the next character is you and me. And number three, the next character is everyone else round about us, our fellow people that we walk this life with. So there's only three characters, and Jesus is going to tell them this story. Verse 23. Once upon a time, there was a king. And this king decided it was time to get his accounts in order. There's a couple of accountants here this morning. I can see you. Well, the king would have called his accountants together, get the logbooks out, get the scrolls, and see who owes him some money. He wants to get some money back into his bank account. So one by one, the servants or whoever owed him money came into his presence and he would demand that they pay him back the money that they owed him. In this process, a man comes in to him who is one of his servants, one of his employees. This man owes the king 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know about you if talents is something that you're used to dealing with on a daily basis, but I think it's hard to say, but I think it's something, it's certainly millions of pounds. This man owed the king a massive debt. And he stands before the king and he's guilty. We don't know how on earth this man racked up such a debt. I imagine he was probably one of the king's trusted employees. Maybe he dealt with the king's finances. Maybe he went on business for the king. But somehow this man had squandered the king's money and he'd racked up a debt of 10,000 talents, which was really an unpayable debt. And he stands before the king and he is guilty. This man probably had this debt hanging over himself for years. And when the king called for him, he probably knew it was about to be addressed. And he stands before the king. You know, we would say today that this guy had just been busted. And actually, this little passage here reminds me of a verse that was quoted to me often as a child, maybe to you as well. Numbers 32, verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. You remember that? That verse haunted me through my childhood and into my youth. Whenever I was in high school, I had a teacher called Mr. Ferguson. The very name gives me shivers to this day. Mr. Ferguson was my worst enemy in high school. At break times, at lunch times, my friends and I used to get up to different things. One of the things we used to do, whenever I was at school, I had a good throw. I used to be a good thrower, and my friends would bring different items to me. Usually from the lunchbox. So it might have been an apple, it might have been a cupcake, it might have been a stale scone. And they would bring these items to me and I would throw them. I would throw them at the school, at the windows maybe, or I would throw them, I'm so ashamed to say this, I would throw them at unfortunate people. Please, don't judge me, okay? I'm changed. I'm a changed man. And I'm no longer involved in this kind of stuff. Anyway, this is how it would go. In a group, we would stand. I would throw an item, and then we would instantly turn around and pretend to be involved with something totally different. We were innocent. But almost without fail, if Mr. Ferguson was in playground duty, I would hear my name, Andrew! And he would haul me up to his office. Did you throw that cupcake? Guilty. Every time. You know, on the odd occasion, he never caught me. And I would go into fifth period, and I would be feeling smug, and there would be a knock on the door. Mr. Ferguson, come up to my office, Andrew. Every time, Mr. Ferguson caught me. There's a verse in Luke chapter 12. Two verses, Luke chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. They say this, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. There's another verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, the end of the matter, when all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so this man stands, let's come back to the story. This man stands before the king and he is guilty. He has a debt that he cannot pay. And so he tells the king that he cannot pay it. And the king says, okay, if you can't pay your debt, then you and your wife and your family and all that you have must be sold in order to pay towards the debt. And when the man hears this, he is distraught. He's distraught. He falls on his face before the king. The word here is that it says that he implored him. That word literally means that he fell prostrate on the ground. He could not get any lower at the king's feet, and he begs the king for mercy. Whenever the king sees this man's humility, he's touched. It says that he was moved with pity towards the man. And he lifts the man to his feet and he says, I forgive you the whole debt. Everything that you owe me, I forgive you. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. You are a free man. Let's come back to that little word from verse 18. The word loosed. That's what this king did for this man. He loosed him. He released him from his debt and he set him free. Do you know this kindness that the king showed towards this man is absolutely outrageous. It's extravagant kindness. 10,000 talents was a phenomenal amount of money for this man just to clear completely, but that's what he does. He sets the man free. Can you imagine, as that man left the king's presence, how he felt that day? Just imagine that weight that's been hanging over him for years, that debt that he knows he will never be able to pay. The shame that comes with that, the sleepless nights, the anxiety, the wondering how he would ever be able to clear his debt. And he walks out of the king's room. Can you imagine how he felt? Now, as we're often reminded in Scotland, we're not very expressive people, but I imagine this man left the king's presence and leapt for joy. He must have walked down the corridor a free and a happy man. I'd like us to stop at this point in the story. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then I want to remind you that this story, this experience that this man had of being forgiven, is your experience. This is your story and my story if you're a Christian. You have been forgiven a 10,000 talent debt. As we consider that, let's just remember just how much God has forgiven each one of us. Let's lift our hearts up in gratitude to God as we remember the debt that he has cleared in our lives. Of all the sin and all the shame that we've carried, he's washed it all away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want to tell you that you have an opportunity today, this morning, right now, as you sit on your seat, you have an opportunity to experience God's forgiveness. That's an offer that God makes to you now. This morning, you can experience God's complete and utter forgiveness for all of the sin that you've done, for all the things that you're ashamed of, for all of the guilt that you carry with you. God is offering you complete forgiveness. Do you know that is the greatest offer that you will ever have? And I emphasize this because I believe wholeheartedly that that can be your gift this morning. You can receive that right now. As you sit in your seat, you can ask God for his complete forgiveness. That's the most wonderful thing. How does God do it? Does he sweep your debt under the carpet? Absolutely not. The king may have forgiven the man his debt, but he had to take that cost for himself. He was 10,000 talents out of pocket. And it's the same for God. When he offers you forgiveness, he offers it through Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he took all of your sin and all of your shame and all of your guilt, and he bore it on the cross for you. He paid your debt and my debt in full, and he offers you a brand new start this morning. Do you know, there's some people in this world who think that if they do enough good things in this lifetime, that when they come to the end of life, God will weigh up the good with the bad. And if there's enough good in their lives, he'll let them in. This man here actually begged the king to allow him to pay the debt. Do you know, if this man had 10 lifetimes of working 7 days a week, every day of the year, for 10 lifetimes, he would never have enough money to pay this king the debt that he owed. And it's the same for us. You could have 10 lifetimes of the best life you could possibly give to God, and it would never be enough to pay the debt of sin that we owe to God. But he offers it this morning free of charge. So let's come back to the story, verse 28. This morning, we're thinking about two different types of forgiveness. I should have said that at the start. We're thinking about vertical forgiveness, which is God's forgiveness towards us, the king's forgiveness toward his servant. From verse 28, we're thinking about horizontal forgiveness, which is our forgiveness towards other people. And so the man leaves the king's presence. He is free. He is forgiven. And he walks down the corridor, and we would imagine that he would find the first person he can and give them a massive hug and tell them of the incredible thing that the king has just done for him. He has just set me free of my 10,000 talent debt. But instead, it happens to be that the first man he meets as he walks down the corridor is someone who owes him a little bit of money. He owes him 100 denarii. Again, you're probably not in the habit of using denarii on a daily basis, but probably a denarii was around about a day's wage for a working man. So this man owed his fellow servant 100 days' wages, maybe about 3 months' wage. Not a small sum, but not a massive sum either. This man grabs his servant by the throat and begins to choke him and says, "Pay me what you owe me." And in such a familiar posture and in such familiar words that this man had just spoken moments before, the man drops to his knees and onto his face and pleads with his fellow servant to give him some time. "Please give me some time to pay the debt. Have mercy upon me." What does the first servant do? He refuses to give him mercy, to show mercy. He grabs him and he hauls him and he takes him and throws him into prison until he can pay all the debt. Jesus is the master storyteller. And at this point in the story, he has all of us. He knows the way to all of our hearts. And everyone who listens to this story, there's a shared morality across all of humanity, that everyone who listens to this story and sees the injustice of what this man just did to the other man in light of what of the mercy he's just received, everyone who listens to that just thinks, how disgraceful, how wrong that that man should treat his fellow servant that way. Whenever the other servants round about saw what was happening, it says that they were greatly distressed, and they went straight to the king and told him all that had happened. Whenever the king heard about what had happened, he was furious. And he pulled the man back in and he said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers. Other translations would say to tormentors until he should pay all of his debt. And all of humanity, including ourselves, looking on, we say, yes, good choice. This man got what he deserved. He's back in prison. He got what he deserved. And then Jesus delivers the final blow. Verse 35. This is what Jesus says to disciples and says to all of us who stand in condemnation of that man. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So, I would like to ask you some questions this morning. I would like to make this story that Jesus tells us personal to you and to me. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Is there bitterness or resentment in your heart this morning? Have you held someone else in chains for a long time? Maybe for years? Or maybe more accurately, have you held yourself in chains for months or years? Maybe you've been hurt by someone, maybe someone that's close to you, maybe you've been hurt by a family member, maybe hurt by your mum or your dad, you're grieved by the way that they chose to bring you up, and you've never, ever been able to release them for it. Maybe you've been hurt by a close friend, maybe someone who you valued and held in high esteem, and they've let you down. They've disappointed you. They've betrayed you. Maybe it's your husband or your wife. Maybe you came to church with them this morning and you argued all the way here. Or maybe it's a little bit simpler than that. Maybe it's somebody in church that you've not forgiven. Maybe it's someone that you just can't quite look them in the eye and you feel a little bit of resentment or contempt towards them. Someone you think about often. Someone that in your head you maybe have false arguments with. I don't know what your situation is this morning. I don't know what you've experienced. I don't know what level of hurt you've experienced at the hands of others. But I want to encourage every single person here this morning, in light of this story that Jesus tells us, no matter how great a debt someone owes you, no matter how much someone has hurt you, No matter how many years you have carried resentment in your heart towards someone, I want to invite you this morning to release them, to offer to them the same forgiveness that Jesus has given to you. I understand, as I say all of this, that there's probably people here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, it's not that easy. You don't understand just how much I have been hurt. And it's not a matter of walking across the church and making things right with someone. It's way deeper than that. It's way more hurtful than that. This goes way back. This person has completely and utterly ruined my life. I hope I can speak compassionately today, and I probably don't understand all of the situations that are here this morning, but I'm really glad it's Jesus who delivers this story and not me. And it's him that asks us this morning, in light of all that I have forgiven you, will you offer the same forgiveness to whoever it is that's offended you? I want to share something personal with you. I was working last week and I was chatting to some people about this passage here. I was quizzing them and asking them a question about it just as I was doing my preparation. And for the next 10, 15 minutes, we discussed back and forward things about this passage. And without me realizing that the person I had spoken to felt very convicted about someone in their lives who they hadn't seen for many, many years, and they knew they had to go and make it right with them. They left the job that day, they drove over to the man's house, they knocked his door, and they spoke to him. And they had a long conversation and chatted about different things. I want to encourage every person here this morning, if you feel any sense of unforgiveness in your heart, you may not be able to go and make things right with that person. Forgiveness isn't actually about reconciliation. That's a completely different thing. Forgiveness has probably got a lot more to do with you and with me. And I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus says, from your heart, to forgive your brother or sister. That's where it starts. It starts with us. I want to encourage you this morning to offer that forgiveness to whoever it is that's offended you. Don't allow the fear of man to hinder you from doing that this morning. Maybe you need to walk across the church and go and sit next to someone and make things right with them. That would be the most wonderful thing, the most liberating thing you could do this morning. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe this is something that's going to take some time. But let me encourage you and emphasize it this morning that Jesus doesn't just ask us as an optional extra to forgive. He says, this is a must. If you want me to forgive you, then you also must forgive others. Let me finish with two verses, please. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Jesus gives us the what we call the Lord's Prayer. Goes through it, and it's really interesting. At the end of it, he chooses to go back to one part of it. He puts one condition on the Lord's Prayer, and this is what he says. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That's the part in the Lord's Prayer. And then he says this, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Very sobering words. Finally, Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So that is the parable of the unforgiving servant. I know it's quite a hard-hitting parable. Jesus doesn't mince his words, but I trust that God will speak to all of us, and I trust that we'll all have the courage that it takes to go this morning, if we need to, and offer forgiveness to whoever it is that has hurt us or wounded us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's powerful and living. And we thank you that you desire to speak to each one of us this morning. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be moving amongst us. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who's never experienced your forgiveness, that they would come and receive that today. And we ask, Lord, for the grace just to be obedient to what your word has asked us to do this morning. We ask it in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen.